On the morning of March 24, 1980, Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was the Bishop of San Salvador in the country of El Salvador, went to confession. His heart was very heavy. He had seen his country torn by civil war for many years. He had seen so many atrocities committed by both the military government as well as the Marxist guerrillas. He saw the plight of the poor and so many who were politically oppressed. He saw the attacks on the church, too. So he went to confession. Ironically, when he was appointed Bishop of San Salvador, many thought this timid, professorial kind of man would be easy to manipulate. He would just go with the status quo. Hardly. He was very outspoken. Outspoken against the abuses of the government as well as the guerrillas. He was outspoken for reform in the government so there would be democracy. Outspoken against the abuses and a real champion of the rights of the poor and the idea of economic justice and opportunity for everyone. He was outspoken condemning the oppression of certain people. And so all of this weighed so heavily on his heart. When he went to confession, he told his confessor, "I want to really feel clean in the presence of the Lord before Holy Week." And so, for his penance, he was to recite Psalm 51, which was our responsorial psalm. That evening, he went to the cancer hospital where he would have Mass for the staff as well as the patients. This was the fifth Sunday of Lent. So the readings were the same readings that we just heard. So he preached after reading the gospel. "You have just heard the gospel of Christ, that one must not love oneself to the point of refusing to become involved in the risks of life that history demands of us. Whoever, out of love of Christ, gives himself to the service of others will live, like the grain of wheat that dies, but only seems to die. If it did not die, it would remain alone. Only in undoing itself does it produce the harvest." After preaching, the Mass continued. He started the offertory prayers. As he raised up the chalice, though, a shot rang out. The bullet hit him right in the chest. He dropped to the floor, dead. A government-paid assassin had taken the life of this great champion of human rights. Yet, great fruit came from his life, not only in his life now, but in his life after death. At his funeral, 250,000 people came. And it was a real sign that people were inspired to change their life, to change the situation that they were in. Granted, all countries have problems. El Salvador has its problems to this day. But Oscar Romero is still seen as a champion of the gospel truths of love and justice for all people. Well, my brothers and sisters, as we think about this fifth Sunday of Lent, have we really died to ourselves to rise to live a life fully as a Christian bearing witness to Christ? When we were baptized, this is what we were supposed to do, to die and rise again to a life in Christ. Lent is always that time when we challenge ourselves to look at our lives, reflect, and see, have I really done this? So it is a time of conversion and renewal. The real challenge for us in the next 2 weeks before Easter is to look and see in our lives, have I really died to my selfishness, self-centeredness, pride, and complacency to really live fully that Christian life and bear witness to Christ? In our gospel today, we hear of some Greeks looking for Jesus. Well, people are looking for Jesus, but do they see him in us? Do they hear him in us? You'll notice everything's covered in purple. So our cross, the statues, religious artwork, all covered in purple to mark that this 2 weeks is called Passion Tide. in the Gospels, Jesus disappears. He goes into hiding until Palm Sunday. So in a way, Christ is hidden among us. But aren't we then called to make him present? He wants to be made present through us. That only happens, though, if we die to ourselves and give witness to Christ, allow Christ to be made known to us. So I challenge you in the next 2 weeks to pause and meditate on a virtue we oftentimes don't hear of. It's the virtue of magnanimity. It comes from the Latin magna, meaning great, animus, meaning soul. To become great-souled, that's what we're supposed to be. To become great-souled, to have an enlarged soul filled with the love and therefore the pursuit of justice and the advocacy of truth to all people. We're called then to have those high ideals and live by those ideals of the gospel. We're called to look at our historical situation right now and ask ourselves, what is my mission then to bring Christ into this world? What is my role to make Christ present and to renew all things in Christ? This is a real challenge for all of us. Again, we can't just be satisfied with some type of cultural Christianity or some kind of happy with the status quo, happy with bygones be bygones. We can't be happy with the attitude of, I'm personally against, but I love the status quo. No, we're called to bear witness to Christ with that great souledness and to bring about all things to Christ, to make a renewal of this historical moment in which we live to Christ. We heard of Archbishop Oscar Romero, who now has been declared a martyr and also will be canonized a saint sometime soon by Pope Francis. But we look at other saints. They were all great-souled. For instance, yesterday was the feast day of St. Patrick. Well, here was a man who in the early 400s left the comforts of France and went to be the missionary to the Irish people. He brought faith to them. For 30 years, he labored as a bishop. He died to himself and rose, and he bore great fruit, fruit that in many ways has touched us, maybe because of our own Irish heritage or because we had priests or religious of Irish heritage who taught us. So that faith bore great fruit and has been handed on. Tomorrow's the feast day of St. Joseph, the patron and guardian of the church, a holy man, faithful spouse, faithful foster father of our Lord. St. Joseph died to himself to live for God. He truly bore great fruit in being that foster father, faithful spouse of our Blessed Mother. And then we could think of other saints in our own times. Many of us remember well the example of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She left the comforts of her community as a teaching sister and with three other sisters founded the Missionaries of Charity in the mid-1950s. Their mission was to care for the poorest of the poor, those who were the unwanted, the dying, the diseased. Today, her community is over 4,000 nuns serving in 70 different countries. She died to herself and bore great fruit for the Lord. Or think of John Paul II. This man was elected Holy Father. Rather than giving into the status quo of let's be nice to the Soviet Union and just let's see if the church can survive, he confronted communism. He called it evil for what it was. And we know there was an assassination attempt on his life. Miraculously, he survived. But there's a man during his 25 years as Holy Father, or 27 years, truly died to himself and did great things for the Lord. But so it is with us. Never forget that. We're called to do the same. Our lives may not be as dramatic or historically significant, but in our own way, you and I are called to be these great witnesses who have died with Christ and risen with Him to do great things for God. For instance, all of us here, as an individual, need to be those advocates of truth, proclaiming the sanctity of life from conception to natural death, the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman, the sanctity of family life, the sanctity of all life, including those who are the disabled, the poor, the suffering, the sick, the elderly. We have to be the advocates because those values bring about goodness in society. We do our part to bring those values about. Could be by just how we live our lives, how we defend the faith, how we teach others. But we're all called. For you young people who have your, perhaps, goals, high ideals of what you want to do with your life, whatever it is, the Lord can use you as His instrument to do great good in this moment. And then for you who are married, remember, we need to see those living examples. Real Christian marriage is a dying of oneself and a rising to new life. Those vows of, I love you in good times, bad, sickness and health, till death do us part, that involves a dying to self and a rising to life. I've had the privilege of witnessing the anniversaries of people married 50, 60 years, or also presiding at funeral masses for the same amount of years of a spouse. And how beautiful it is to say, what a great witness of God's love. Love that is faithful, permanent, self-giving, life-giving love. That's what's needed. And especially when that love bears fruit in handing the faith on to children. Or we think then of how holy families are so needed in our world today, where the home has to be that sanctuary of God's love. You parents really need to die to yourself to raise your children. I'm sure at times you think, oh, I'm so tired, but then you make that sacrifice of kneeling down and praying with your kids at bedtimes, or the sacrifice of teaching them their faith, the religious ed homework, or it's making sure they go to Mass, even though there may be all these other activities on the weekend. It's a dying of self, but it bears fruit. I think the greatest challenge for a parent today is to fulfill that goal of making sure, as best you can, your children enter heaven. You want your children to get to heaven. So for all of us, we look at our lives and we're called to have that great souledness, to live our life in a great way for Christ, to die to ourself, to rise with Him and live in His love. It can have great effects. One little story, I was recently at dinner with a couple of friends of mine, and they're telling me about their daughter, whom I married to her groom, to her husband, and years ago, and they're talking about just life. And shortly after the daughter and her husband were married, sadly, they found out that they could not have children. So that's a heartbreak for a young couple. But then they looked into adoption. And I knew a young lady who was not married, who was pregnant, who was looking for a home for a child. She didn't want to give in to the cultural pressures of today. Think about yourself, your career, your life. She wanted to give life to this innocent child she was carrying. So I made the connection, and then with the legalities and so on, this couple adopted that little baby. Well, now it's years later, and the little boy is now at a Catholic school, a different one, not this parish. And at their parish for the right to life, they had all these white wooden crosses, 100 crosses set up in the lawn in front of the church. Each one represented 10,000 lives that were lost that year due to abortion. Incredible. And the grandma picked up the little boy at school, and she asked her grandson, well, what do you think of this? And the little boy said, it makes me feel very thankful that I had a mother, he knows he is adopted, that I had a mother who gave of herself to give me life. And I'm very grateful for my two parents who adopted me and are raising me. Now there's the fruit of a magnanimous love, of people who opened their hearts, who allowed God to stretch their hearts to do great things. Yes, great things that produced so much fruit of love. So my brothers and sisters, 2 weeks till Easter, ponder this and ask yourself, how well do I really show my faith? How well do I live my faith? Take this 2 weeks to focus on the prayer, the study of Scripture, the readings we have for Mass, for confession if you haven't gone yet, for the different special church services that we have. Take this time, because we're called this Easter to die once again and rise with Christ, to look at the historical moment in which we live and say, I can do my part to renew all things in Christ. If we take this seriously, then, granted, with the help of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us with that gift of fortitude, we will really bear witness to the risen Lord in this world. May God bless you.